Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, president of Aerospace Management System Institute in Lakeland, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, I'm Ben Coleman, one of your hosts for Florida Aviation Network. And we're here at the 40th annual Sun and Fun Fly-In and Exposition. And one of the beauty parts about this operation here is you run across some of the most interesting people and interesting things that they have done. And what's more important is what they can do. And this is why we bring this to you, our audience, to help share some of their past and some of their current activities. And hopefully they will mingle with some of your future activities. Here with us today, we have Kathy Hertz. Kathy, welcome. And we have Steve Wolf.
Steve, glad to meet you.
Good to see you. And I was just getting kind of a rundown on what you guys, how the tie-in between Steve Wolf, Wolf Aircraft, Kathy Hertz, aerobatic training.
Wing over aerobatics.
So yes. What is the tie-in here? You guys have some type of relationship, do you not?
Right. I'm actually a physician, and I decided to take up flying when I was 48, and I immediately fell in love with aerobatics.
I thought you were going to say Steve.
Well, no. I needed an instructor.
Steve used
to live close to me in Oregon, in Crestwell, Oregon, so I started training with Steve, and basically, I wanted to buy a Pitts, and he said, you know, if you buy a Pitts, you could have a business where I could be your instructor. So I thought, you know, in the Northwest, there aren't very many schools where you can learn unusual attitude training and aerobatics, and that was what got me into flying, was the unusual attitude and into aerobatics. So I started a school called Wing Over Aerobatics.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, of course, was my main instructor, and I bought a Pitts along with his Zlin, which is a Czech-built monoplane aerobatic. And we started the school, and then one thing led to another. We decided to come to Sun and Fun in 2003, and we decided to make it a big event, and we got married here. And Steve is a builder of aerobatic airplanes and a great friend of Curtis Pitts. So we asked Curtis Pitts to be our best man, and we actually got married in the hot air balloon race at Sun and Fun in 2003. So our 11th anniversary is tomorrow.
So, well, happy anniversary
Thank you in advance.
But Steve, I'm really disappointed in you, man.
Uh-oh.
Back when she said, you know, I'd like to get some aerobatic experience or training, but I need a flight instructor, Steve said, tell you what, why don't I be your flight instructor? And, I can see
well,
that.
I thought she was pretty cute, you know.
I can imagine.
But
that's great. That's a great story. And, the fact is, it's not a story, it's reality. Steve, tell us about some of the things that you've been doing.
Well, we're going to
get back into what Kathy's been doing with her aerobatics.
Yeah, well, my story is totally different than Kathy's, where she became a physician stuff. I stayed in general aviation from the time I rode my bike out to the airport when I was 13 and hung around and got a job washing, waxing, pumping gas, anything to fly. Mm-hmm. And then I bought my first airplane when I was in high school, a little Ronca Champ, and I wanted to be an air show pilot, and I worked up an engine off routine, and I started doing my first shows when I was 19 doing that. And then I saw a Pitt Special fly, and I had to have one. So I built one, ordered the plans, built a Pitts, and literally the rest of my life has been the Pitts. And then I built the big Pitts with the Pratt & Whitney, this Pitt Samson, and that's what I'm probably most known for in air show flying. I flew that at Oshkosh from 85 to 93, and then shows all over the United States, and later sold it to Bobby Yonkin, and people have seen Bobby Yonkin fly the Pitt Samson. That's the same airplane. Well, anyway, I just started building Pitts and aerobatic aircraft for a lot of the other performers and stuff, and flying. I have two passions in aviation, and one is flying and the other is building. And
I thought there's three passions in aviation now.
Well, three is definitely her. Okay. I was going to say this is my main passion right here.
Good.
Outside of, well, involved in aviation. So
good.
So when Kathy and we decided to start Wing Over, everything was going good. She was paying me and everything, and then we got married, and I don't think I've had a paycheck since, but it's been definitely rewarding.
Well, maybe I shouldn't be so disappointed with Steve. Shame on you for taking advantage of your flight instructor.
I did kind of take advantage of it.
but you know, it's all about relationships, and that's
it
what
really
we know in business and aviation, and it's so important to maintain those good relationships, even if you are able to have relations during those relationships. And I want to know about your H-1 involvement.
Yeah, you know, back in 2001, Jim Wright of Cottage Grove, Oregon, built an exact replica. I even had the original N number. The FAA actually issued it a reproduction, where it was actually a reproduction, even though the original exists in the Smithsonian. And it was seen at Oshkosh, 2003, I think it was, right around that time. Mm-hmm. But it was a replica, just like the wind tunnel test one behind us here, but of the Hughes H-1. And I built the wing. I'm known for a lot of woodworking, building the Pitts wings and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I built the wing, which to me was my masterpiece woodwork. It was a 32-foot big one-piece wing that it was incredible. Howard Hughes, the way they built that wing was just amazing. And we built it with a tolerance to where you could put a 6-foot straight edge along the wing skin and not be able to pull a piece of paper out.
Wow.
So it was really a challenge.
How long did it take you guys to build the wings?
The woodwork alone was 4,400 hours.
Wow.
And it's an all wood wing. The rest of the aircraft's metal.
That's one person, 2 years.
2 years. I spent a little over 2 years full time building the wing. I was not instructing. It's just before I met Kathy.
Excellent. And I don't know if the cameras probably can't see the wind tunnel test model back here, but when Sun and Fun took possession of the Hughes artifacts, this is one that came with it, and it's just what a design. The Pond Racer, I guess it's affectionately known.
Yeah, it's along the same deal. And one of my other projects was the Delmar Benjamin's GB R2 replica that he flew shows with, and I built that in my shop also back in '89. It's actually in Kermit Weeks's museum.
The Fantasy of Flight.
The Fantasy of Flight. Yeah.
This is what you have done, but are you finished with aviation?
Oh no, I have a brand new design aerobatic airplane I'm in the process of building right now, and but it's hard to get it done when you're instructing about 3 hours a day.
Ooh.
I typically fly 2 to 3 hours of dual in a Pitts S2B, and Kathy's now almost full-time instructing in the Zlin, teaching primary aerobatics, upset training, emergency training. Kathy trains the Florida State Troopers, and there's 9 of them, and these guys are like, you know, 6'4 and like this, and they walk out to the airplane with Kathy, and when they come back, they're all drenched and sweaty, and she's just sitting there happy, but she works them hard.
Well, there's a lot of different definitions of the term tough, and you got to be tough to pull and tug on airplanes these days, and it's important to have the right airframe to do it in,
right,
that will handle the pull. But it's also, people don't realize how physically demanding it is, and your tone and your you're not a smoker, are you?
No,
okay.
Never have been.
Nope. Don't promote that kind of stuff.
And that's what I just don't understand. And you get somebody that's a little bit overweight, heavy smoking, and they're going to go up and do an aerobatic routine. It just doesn't seem to fit because there's so much pulling on you when you're doing it. What's your average envelope as far as G's, Kathy, when you're doing some training?
Usually positive 6 and negative 3.5.
About where we fly.
And that's my air show plane.
Negative three and a half. That's cruel. That's tough on you.
You get used to it. It's like the positive G.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of you getting used to it over time. But aerobatics is something that I love. I just love being free in the sky, in space. And I was flying the S2B pits when I started doing air shows. Steve got me into air shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my first air show a little over a year after I started flying, and I worked down to a ground level waiver, and then he built me a single seat Pitts, which is much sleeker and performs better than the S2B, and of course, I designed the paint scheme, which was beautiful.
It's green.
Green, of
everything
course.
She has is
yeah.
green.
Yeah, but anyway, it's been a fun career.
Well, and the exciting thing is it's not over.
It's not over.
And
no.
that's what, and we're, there's so much in involvement with the education aspect, and you notice here at the aerospace discovery is the new term that Sun and Fun is using for this
yeah,
complex.
You know,
but
this is kind of new here.
How are we going to get kids to want to get the passion to build a wing? Do they start with a model aircraft, balsa wood?
I think that's really it. I think today with everybody's doing everything with computers and their iPhones and everything, and they aren't really building stuff with their hands. They're looking and they're learning a lot. There's so much information out there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as taking a saw and taking the chance of zinging the end of your finger and never doing that again,
yeah.
I don't see too many young people doing that today. And I hope they do, because a lot of the stuff, I felt very behind times. I mean, a lot of the stuff building the GB, you know, learning metalwork and woodwork and really building airplanes out of the 30s, I felt like I was learning, trying to keep something that was kind of something of the past alive. But there's definitely some new guys. I know quite a few now that are in their early 20s that are doing it, that are really good, and I'm hoping they carry it on.
Well,
on.
The 20-year-olds, and we're really kind of searching out for the 10 and 12-year-olds to get them to build a model, and it doesn't have to be perfect, and that's probably one of the traits of the adults that is probably most damaging, is not given enough praise for just completing a project. Look at this airplane I built. Oh, man, that wing's all warped. You know, and you could have polished this a little bit better here, and look, you've got a rib sticking out. It's longer than the rest of the rib. Why didn't you dress that out?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Leave the kid alone.
You know, that sounds familiar, because, you know, my father was Austrian, and I mean, he was, that's where Wolf comes from, and he was a typical German, Austrian type, everything has to be perfect. And I'd build model airplanes as a kid, and I'd put the paint stripe on it by hand, and I'd be so proud, he'd come in and go, look at that, you got some waves down through there, you need to work on your paint jobs. You know, I thought, damn, all I want to do is just make him happy, you know, with what I was doing.
Yeah.
But it pushed me toward perfection, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was in the Army Air Corps during World War II. He's B-17 mechanic and stuff, and like a lot of people, I saw, looked at his photo albums of him when he was in the military during World War II. So I think being a baby boomer, I had that chance to grow up. I think that's where my interest. I don't know. Mom said when I was 3, I was still already talking airplanes, you know. And I'm just proud, Kathy. When she dug into it, she ended up with 550 hours her first year of flying. So she may have started flying at 48, but she definitely went for it.
That's a lot of time in 1 year.
That's a lot of
flying.
Yeah.
And that's not long cross country time, is it?
That's short
up and down,
aerobatic
up and down.
Time. And in Oregon,
yeah,
where you don't have good weather.
That's
motivated us to move to Florida. We moved here, it'll be 5 years ago this year, and because the weather is just not conducive to flying there on any consistent basis, and we'd always have to reschedule our students to come back another day. So it's been so much better here, and we're about an hour away from Orlando in Leesburg.
Mm-hmm.
And it really facilitates, the family can go to Disney World and the pilot can come to fly
mm-hmm.
with us,
mm-hmm.
and we've done very well. We have a great clientele.
Well, in Leesburg, it's a nice area to fly in and out
yeah.
of.
Yeah, the airport is really wonderful, and the tower there is so used to us, you know, when you've got a pitch, you kind of go around the pattern a lot quicker than most airplanes, so they always put me opposite the Cessnas and Pipers because we do 2-to-1, and they make it work so smooth. It's a great control tower there.
Yeah, I soloed at Leesburg back in the 70s. So.
Are you still flying then? Do you have an aircraft?
A mall?
Yeah.
Rocket?
I took my private check ride in an M4.
M4 Strata
Rocket. You don't find too many people back in the 60s that took a check ride in a mall.
In a Franklin?
No, it actually had the old Continental, a 145, the old original M4 with the 0300. And then when I got my commercial, I worked for a mall dealer and I demonstrated the early Rocket with both the the IO360, the Continental, and then the Franklin. And I really love the Franklin powered one.
The Franklin's a lot smoother engine, I feel.
Yeah, and, it's a good airplane, though.
I mean, it's still, mine thinks it's a radial.
Yeah.
it leaves puddles, but anyway, it's a lot of fun.
But so aviation's been my life.
Well, one other thing that we offer is aerobatic rides for the non-pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And we get quite a big interest in that. We sell gift certificates, and it's about 20 to 30 minutes, about all the aerobatics someone can take when they haven't done it before.
You take six sacks along with you?
We do. They aren't used frequently, but
every now and then.
We gear the ride to the passenger, so if they're having a good time, we do more. If they're kind of, then we just fly around. We teach them how to do a roll. You know, we try to make it fun for everybody.
But isn't that fun when you have a first-timer? And they get in, and they're real nervous and apprehensive, and you know they're holding on to things. They've got the seat. Their fingers are clenched.
Yeah.
So relax.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah. You know, we've been getting a lot of older people with bucket lists.
That's just
they always want to ride in a biplane or that type of thing. And we have had quite a few young children from six all the way up to 96.
Wow, that's, and again, we're so about getting the youth more involved in this industry, and
it really is.
We've got to have it, and I don't know if you are aware of the study that Boeing did here recently. We have to, in the next 15 years, we need over 600,000 mechanics, and we need over 400,000 pilots to keep things rolling, and it's an uphill battle to keep that number up, and again, it's not my battle personally, it's not your battle personally, but collectively in the industry, we'd like to see, and I'd like to share what I've learned, and I know that you folks are, by the virtue of you being here, you'd like to share your passion.
Yeah.
And share it with individuals that could make a difference.
I think the Young Eagles program has been really good, it's a tremendous program. Yeah.
And there's a lot of little Steve Wolfs running around out there. We just haven't found them yet that want to build replicas.
Yeah. I think another sad thing today, we were talking about the difference, is that, you know, back when I rode my bike out to the airport, I could ride out to the airport, ride anywhere on it, ride around the airplanes, and I wasn't shooed off, you know, and you could do it. And today, our airports are very fenced in, especially since September 11th. You know, but I mean, it's very fenced in now.
We just have to find a different way to knock those fences down without...
And invite them. The airport is not as... And a lot of airports are not as inviting as when I was there.
True.
And in
many regards, they turned it into a business, and if you're not making money and you've got your bean counters, and say, every minute you spend talking to that kid, you're wasting money.
Yeah, and I'm in the process of writing a book that I've named Before Fences. It's actually about my early days of learning to fly, and I thought that would be a better title than Before Fences.
The Four Fences.
Yeah.
Hanging on the fence.
Yeah. Yeah. The cover, I took a picture of a little 9-year-old hanging on the fence with all the warning signs, and I think
are you in the process of writing?
Yeah, in it right now, yeah.
Any target dates? No pressure.
No pressure. I would like to hope I get it done in the next 6 months anyway.
Well, now if you'll leave him alone, and you might have to cut it back to 2 hours a day flight instructing, but
I basically want to write about a baby boomer growing up at that time period and the way flying I've seen it progress, as far as what it took to do it.
How about GoPros these days? Have you strapped on the GoPro and used those?
Everybody's got a GoPro. We have so many students that they buy one after their first flight so they can take pictures and video of the next, and then they send us the video. So we have quite a few posted on our website with various rides or lessons in both planes.
I've learned now to have plenty of antenna, or I mean brackets.
Yeah, he can build mounts
all over the plane.
So.
I can mount it about anywhere on the airplane now because some people bring three of them now. They want to go.
People are getting much more creative with the results too.
Yeah, and the folks that like to they like to film their progress, and they've got on the GoPro their first flight, and then their first solo, and then the first cross country night flight. So it's really, you can put together a whole storyline yourself, and we're trying to encourage so many people to do that, get involved in it. And there's just so many different ways to enjoy this industry. ballooning, as you know.
Right.
Balloons scare me to death, but I admire you for hopping in that gondola. And was the ceremony performed at altitude?
Right after takeoff, right after liftoff, because in Florida you can be married by a justice of peace and or a notary, and our balloonist was a notary.
Excellent.
So it worked out really good, you know.
And he was concentrating on winning the race, so he wanted to get to it.
Yeah.
Well, you did win the race, didn't
you?
We came in third.
Yeah. You brought up a real good point, too, is there's so many facets of aviation. You started naming a couple. A good example is Kathy and I last year, our BFR, biannual flight review, came due, was getting close. So we went down here to Jack Brown's and we both got a float plane rating. Mm-hmm. It was a hoot. It was money well spent. We had fun. Kathy's flown solo on a float plane since then, but not that you need to continue unless you want to, but it's a great way. So just like we have turned some of our aerobatic training and upset training into biannual flight reviews also. So learning anything new. I think if you got to do a biannual flight review, why just settle when there's so much aviation out there that you can use and experience and maybe get a new rating, maybe learn something new.
And or just review stalls and that type of thing to make yourself a safer pilot.
And I don't mean this in a mean way or a negative way, but if you get in the same routine and you do the same type of flying over and over and over, okay, you enjoy it, it's fun. I like it, but you get into that grind, and breaking out of that grind, like you said, do something different. Go out and, for example, Kermit, I'll never forget the time that I saw him walking around on crutches, and I said, Kermit, what happened? Oh, I bummed up my ankle. I says, well, how'd you do that? Trip on a curb, going up the steps or something? He says, well, I was flying my power glider, and I was running, and I thought I had enough flying speed, but I lifted my gear too quick. And of course, your gear as you're running. So he told me that he fell down, and broke his ankle. So anyway, I said, "Well, what did you learn anything from that, Kermit?" He said, "Yeah, don't lift your feet too quick when you fly in a power motor." But to fly the power motors,
I've never done that yet.
Okay, don't forget to keep.
Well, that was a try.
Keep your gear down.
Until you got flying speed.
But it looks like so much fun strapping a fan on your back
and there's just so much. I love antique aircraft. Also flying the old stuff. I've flown a lot of the World War I stuff, and that was really a lot of fun. Chance and some warbird stuff. So there's just so many different parts of it that you can look forward to enjoying if you.
Have you been out on the warbird ramp since you've been here?
We just arrived.
Oh, so you haven't been out there yet. There's some beautiful aircraft. We have some DC-3s for the first timers here. Got a Turbine 3 out there.
Oh,
we
yeah.
interviewed some of the folks with the Missionary Flights International.
Uh-huh.
And it was just amazing to find out what all they do with those DC-3s out there.
Steve just did a repair on Fifi, the B-29.
Oh, yeah.
It was at Leesburg and lost a fairing.
A wing root fairing.
So you hammered out
I hammered English wheeled and got them going, and they did their rides. And then they let me sit in the bomber nose during takeoff. They said, what do we have to, what's it going to cost? And I said, I want to go for a ride. So they went from Leesburg, where they had their tour going on, to Sarasota. So I got to sit, they gave me the first class seat. I got the bomber nose during takeoff and landing and stuff. And to look back in those 3350s and stuff and listen to that, it was just, they really treated me good. But it was fun to be able to take something that I've learned, and here they were stuck at an airport. And it's like, where do we get somebody to build a wing root fairing for a B-29,
Let's see, a wing root fairing for a B-29. I'm thinking sheet stock, 6-foot roll, 24 feet long.
Yeah.
What were the dimensions?
They only lost 9 feet of it. So they only lost
just
half
9 feet?
Or a little less than a half on the bottom. It looked like a little piece, but it really was right at 9 feet long.
Wow.
And
what's the other dimension?
It was 18 inches, basically, was the width.
18
and
wide?
It curves this way and, you know, back up around the thing.
And
it was pretty cool. I mean, it was a fun repair to do.
For our audience, what type of material did you use to do that?
Well, it was aluminum? Hard to believe. Actually, it's very thin. It was actually 032, 32 thousandths.
Really? That's flimsy, 9 feet long?
And the original was stamped out. You know, they had forms, and it was stamped out of a zero condition and then heat treated. And, of course, we didn't have that ability, and we needed to do it. So we used a 6061 and then rolled it to hardness.
Wow.
And did it, and then put all, there's a zillion little bowed stiffeners in there and stuff. They're all spot welded in and stuff.
Yeah,
it was quite a job. It was
just a matter of being that long. It had to be awkward to work with, even with the stiffeners.
Yeah, I had another guy helping me on the other end, and he got to ride along too.
That's great. Well, stuff, not every day. Did you take a picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quite a few
pictures.
Because
so.
Riding in a piece of history like that is.
It was amazing.
And,
you know,
that's the last flying one in the world?
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Yeah.
But you know, so many times that's like the aviation community, where I've been flying cross country in my airshow airplane, land, and find out that I have a problem. I remember when I had a blown cylinder on my 985 Pratt & Whitney, and I need to do a cylinder change, and the guy at the airport let me use a corner of his shop. He would use tools and this and that, and he helped me. And in the end, he didn't even want to charge me. You know, you get help like that. So when people come in with a problem and they're stuck, you try to help them if you can. You know,
but you know, it's
not take advantage of it.
It's the double-edged sword, because it's great that we have that type of mentality and fellowship, brotherhood, to help them get people out in a bind. How many times if you pull up in your Buick to a Buick dealer and you say, hey, I've got my engine started running a little bit rough. All right, sir, we'll have our service advisor just sign this form, give us a credit card, and we'll see if we can get to it in the next day or two.
Yeah.
You know, when you at an airport, you taxi up and you roll out, whoever greets you is, I think I dropped a plug or something, my engine's running a little bit rough. Well, let's open the hood. Let's see what you got here.
Well,
looks like it might be this lead, maybe the spark plug. Why don't you? I'll be right back. Let me go get my get my plug wrench.
Kathy woke up at 3 a.m. and found that I was already awake over there, laying there with my eyes open, and said, "Maybe you better go out and work on it." That was on the B-29 Wainwright. I said, "Yeah, I think so." I was out at the airport by 5 a.m. You know, and got going, and they got their rides done. So it's just. You know, you have this passion, and I think another thing is, and it's always been one of the problems, and why I think sometimes young people have a hard time going into it, is the money, and they're looking at something to make a living at, and you know, the way things are set up, it's always been usually, if you're going to go airline career, you're talking about Boeing, and they're going to need more pilots.
Yeah.
Most people end up instructing for next to nothing to build that time, and now that they have to have 1,500 hours.
Yeah.
You have more and more instructors willing to go into programs and stuff. And I think somehow there's got to be a little more reward. I don't complain about the lack of money I've probably made in my life, sticking in general aviation my whole life, because I've been more than rewarded, way over what the money value and the enjoyment I've had.
Well, and that's something I think we need to develop with our kids is there's a lot more to life than money.
That's it.
And it's important. Now, you got to eat, and you need a shelter over your head, but the love and the passion for aviation is like none other, and we need to share that, because right now we are a sliver of society. So anything we can do to help increase that sliver, I'm for it, and I know you guys are too.
That's right. Yeah.
Steve, thank you so much for joining
nice
us
to
today.
You.
Kathy,
enjoy
it's always
your
a pleasure.
Mall.
We're going to enjoy it, and also I'm going to enjoy seeing our folks and our audience. Back here, if you're not able to make it to the 40th annual Sun and Fun fly-in, there's others. They might do this again next year, and you'll be able to meet other folks like Steve and Kathy here. So thank you for joining us. Take care.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. please visit our studio website to hear past programs.